Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. What do you make of Matthews, Ray? Had two last night. You know, it feels like he's back in that scenario where you just expect he's going to score every night.
Yeah, the one last night, the first one, like that looked like vintage him, didn't it?
Yeah.
You know, here's a chance, and you're even as he's like loading the shot up here, you know, you kind of anticipate that it's going to go in. As crazy as that is, like, it's a good shot, and you're like, that's got a chance. You know, like, everything's got a chance with him. And then I like that, you know, he's sniffing around the pack there, and he, you know, comes up with the rebound for, you know, for the second one. And what that reminded me of is when Ovechkin started to score more goals closer to the net. Like, you know, he wasn't scoring just from distance anymore. It was like, oh, yeah, look at Ovechkin. There's a crappy rebound, and he's standing there. And obviously, the more you can do that, plus this, you know, this gift of a rocket of a shot they've got, you know, now you score from everywhere. It's impressive to watch.
Ray, I was watching the game last night, and
I hope you didn't watch the first two periods.
yeah, I did, but I mean, you know, ultimately, you know, I mentioned to the guys like the difference for me, and if you just had it put two plays. And focused on both of them. One was Matthews, the first shot you just described. You know, he gets in a scoring area and he puts it perfect. You know, beats the goaltender cleanly. And then the other one was Monahan, gets in the same type of area and he fires it 10 feet over the net without a redirect. Like, you know, you talk about star power.
Yeah, but Noodles, isn't that the look, the perfect look of a guy with zero confidence? Like, well, I know the puck must have flipped up on him, but it's hard to shoot it that high.
Here's the thing.
It was stunning to watch.
Well, I wanted to ask you guys, the goal scorers, like, when you're going through stuff like that, like, do you feel like it's going to be a lifetime before you score again?
You're worried, you know, you're never going to do it again.
Yeah, the thing is, though, like, even more to that, like, not only did I not think I was going to score again, but that puck would have come to me, and by the time I went to shoot it, it would have been the size of a marble. Like, I would have beat that thing to pieces. It's amazing when you just don't have it. Like, why can't you just relax and remember that you've done it, you know, hundreds of times before? But pretty clearly, you think, you know, your confidence is shot. Like, that was... It was shocking to see the puck go off like off his stick like that. Like Campbell didn't even have to duck.
No.
That's scary stuff. Ray, what are you going to do? Here's a Coach Ray scenario. It's a new segment we're going to do with you.
Bench
Coach
him.
Ray.
Oh, I don't even know the question. Oh, okay. So I need to see. This is like that question last week. I need more information. Go ahead.
Okay, Freddie Anderson, your Coach Ray, comes up to you in 5 days and said, Ray, I'm 100% healthy. What is Coach Ray saying to Freddie?
Well, you're starting tomorrow.
Really,
Coach Ray? And the reason I'm doing that is I got to find out if he's 100%. I got to know if I've got a decision to make or not. Like, I can't just have him sit there and then something goes sideways with Campbell, health-wise or whatever, and then you're like, man, wait a minute. He hasn't played in, like, forever.
Then you got to kiss up again and say, you are our number one again. Remember that?
I don't think you say it. You just, Freddie, you're in. And then next game you go, Jack, you're in. And then you try and establish who's playing the best. You can't just leave him there collecting dust, I think, is the... As soon as he's ready to play, you got to play him.
Are you subconsciously wanting Freddie to be better than Campbell? Is that something that you're desperately wanting, or are you okay with Campbell continuing to win and in your head saying, Campbell's my guy?
I want the guy to play who's stopping the puck 92% of the time. I don't care who it is. I mean, all due respect to you guys, Noodles. I think every coach loves the goalie that just stops the puck the most.
I agree. It's just, I think you got to figure out if Freddie's 100%, and what's wrong with having two goaltenders, two good goalies playing well? Like, that's something that you need, and you are going to need. Like, eventually, Jack Campbell, I hate to say this, he's probably going to lose a game at some point. You know what I mean? Like, let's be honest. And eventually,
and chances are he's not going to stop 95% of the shots
right,
for the rest
right.
of the year.
So he's having a run, and it's amazing. And he's feeding off it. The team's feeding off of it. He's getting, right now, you know, they pulled two off the goal line last night, whereas D helped him out. Like, he, you know what? That's great. When you're having a run like that, ride him. Because when things go south, that's when you're going to need both goaltenders, the other guy, to push each other. That's called healthy competition. And, you know, Carey Price is not available. Well, you know what Mark Bergevin did? He went and spent $4.5 million on a backup or a guy who can play 1A. So Jake Allen's going to play tomorrow night. Like, there's nothing. I've been saying this all along. There's nothing wrong with having two good goalies that you can rely on any night. And that's a good scenario.
But only one can play.
But don't you think they got lucky in Montreal because they had the other cap space? But that's another reason you can't pay a goalie $8 million, because you don't have quality backup then. You have an inexperienced guy, or you have a journeyman, or, you know, you can't have $13 million in goalies on your roster. You just don't have enough room anymore cap-wise.
Yeah, it just depends on the scenario, really. I mean, Boston's got a good scenario there. Halak, they're spending $10 million on their goalies. Like, it just, I think it's all individual. Like, Vasilevsky, I'll spend $10 million on him because he's the best goalie on the planet, arguably.
Yeah, you know, Boston gets by, I think, because they've got Bergeron and Pastrnak and Marchand on contracts that you can breathe with.
Krejci's the highest paid guy on the team.
Yeah,
how much money should David Pastrnak make? Like, and he's, you know, and he's in a really nice thing, and that allows you to go ahead and pay your goaltenders, and looks like they're going to need them. I mean, Rask isn't healthy, and
if you know, you're Pastrnak, you got to say, look at Mitch Marner's contract. Mine's nothing less. So
yeah, Artemi Panarin's contract. It's very simple. Yeah, we know it should be 11 and a half. Thing is about the goaltending, I totally agree with that logic for the regular season, and if there's an injury in the playoffs. But at some point, you're going to get to a decision where you have to pick the one guy who's playing tonight. They're not switching at the 30-minute mark. The buzzer's not going, and they're both playing. So you're absolutely right now. You know, hey, play this guy tomorrow, and that guy plays, and kumbaya, we're all having a great time. At some point, game one comes across the ledger, and Sheldon Keefe has to make a call. And I believe, you know, most of us, if not all of us, for the longest time, believed that was Freddie Anderson 100%. I'm not sure that's the case anymore. And I'm not sure it will be in a month and a half when the playoffs start. Because if Freddie comes back and isn't 100% or isn't playing that well, I think at that point, if Campbell's still playing really, really well, you kind of have to go with him in game one. But then it becomes a bigger conversation. What if he stumbles? Then you go back to Freddie?
But, Brian, just think of how many teams over the last 10 years have used two goalies on their way to the Stanley Cup. Pittsburgh's did it on both of their years. One year they used three.
Yeah.
Chicago did it. Remember
Nashville series.
The Nashville series, Crawford couldn't stop a beach ball.
Scott Darling,
and it was Scott Darling. And the year before it was Antti Niemi.
Even Holtby in Washington. But eventually
Holtby didn't even, right? It was Grubauer.
He didn't start, but eventually the guy got there. Eventually he did get in.
Yeah, but my point is, it's the same thing you're talking about.
Somebody
was good, somebody was better.
Yep.
At the start of the playoffs, and two games in, that wasn't the case anymore.
Well, I think what you're saying, Brian, and I don't disagree with this, and maybe I'll give it a football analogy. If you have two number one starting quarterbacks, you actually don't have any because you're always looking at the other guy. One guy stumbles, and people are like, why the hell didn't you play that guy instead of this guy? And that happens with goaltending a lot, where you know, one part of the fan base or one part of the organization likes this guy, and half the team likes this, half the team likes that. They're more comfortable with this guy. You know, you see that in tandems. You know, Mike Smith, for example, in Edmonton, he handles the puck really well. So Koskinen, when he's in the net, their team looks different because Smith helps speed up their D. They exit the zone quicker because Smith handles the puck. So they actually have to play a different style with one goaltender in compared to the other. So you're right, Brian. Game one, well, let's see. There's still a month and a half of runway here.
Absolutely.
And I think the dust will settle.
Yep.
But it's a good problem to have. But it will be, to your point, it might be a problem because if they're both playing well, One guy starts and stumbles. Okay, well, you got to go the other guy.
Saying it forever. Right. The most similar positions in sports are goalie, quarterback, starting pitcher, because there's only one that can do it on any given time. You know, and you've got to pick that guy. Everyone else, you can have different forward groups and say, I thought I was going to play him 8 minutes. He played great. He played 18. You know, or he sucked. I sat him on the bench. He didn't play in the third. There's one guy that puts the pads on more or less, and you got to pick that guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's
the right guy, too.
You got to pick the right guy. That's really what it comes down to.
Exactly. But I don't see it as a problem, per se, because you're going to pick one guy. The other guy, hopefully, is going to be a pro and not drag his lip around the rink all the time when he's not playing in the playoffs. But it's not a problem. It's a real problem if you look at both your guys back there and you go, I don't like either of them.
Right.
Both of them can't. Both of them are in a ditch right now. Now what do I do?
Well, let me ask you guys this. For the Northern Division, if the playoffs started tomorrow, obviously it'd be Campbell for Toronto because of Freddie's health.
Mm-hmm.
But they know who's starting in Winnipeg. They know who's starting in Montreal, and they know who's starting in Edmonton based on their minutes and how well those goalies have played. The difference will be if you have a healthy Frederik Andersen and how well he's playing at that time when the playoffs start. So if it's a month and a half from now and we're having this same conversation, Winnipeg's not changing unless there's an injury because Hellebuck's your guy.
Hellebuck is your guy. And Price
is your guy in Montreal.
Yep.
I mean, Smith and Koskinen, Smith had a great year. So, I mean, there's no reason to believe he wouldn't. But health and at 39 years old, a little bit different scenario. But Toronto could be a good problem to have, but it'd be a spicy meatball if you're having to guess and flip-flop and, you know,
sure.
That type of stuff.
Yep, for sure. And that obviously is on the plate of Sheldon Keefe. Like, this is what comes with the territory, and he'll figure it out. But you know, his team has responded well. They had that dip a couple of weeks ago. They've come out of it. They're 7-0-1 in their last eight, and they're in a good spot. And we referenced it earlier, Ray, that, you know, over the course of this whole, you know, 13-month pandemic and the sporting scene, where there are occasions where things happen and you say, man, I wish there were fans there. Last night, the Raptors had a buzzer beater, Gary Trent Jr., newly acquired kid who's playing really well for them. You know, you walk off the court down at Scotiabank with 18,000 people there, would have been electric, just incredible, pouring out into the streets. And Eric Staal scoring an overtime at the Bell Center would have just been remarkable, because he's such a good player. He's been around for so long. And for him to score like that in overtime, like, what an introduction to a new team and to a new market.
That place gets going anyway, but it would have been, I mean, the new guy, everybody wants the new guy to do well, and then to finish that, you know, a 2-0 deficit, they come back, they send it to overtime. They never win in overtime. Now they do, and it's Staal. I mean, that place would have just been awesome.
Crazy. Crazy.
Last night. And you're right, it is a shame, because Eric Staal loses that moment, but everybody else does too. The people that would have been in the stands, they would have gone home, they would have talked about it, they would have loved that. It would have, you know, today that would have been everything they're talking about at work, except nobody's going to work.
Yeah.
Like, it just, the whole thing stinks.
It really sucks.
Does.
Yeah, well, it really does.
I don't know if you guys saw, like, heading into overtime, they flashed Staal. Now, he had, you know, it's tough to be in game shape after being in quarantine and stuff. Like, he had the furnace face going. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Yeah.
Like, and I thought it was really cool that they threw him out there. Obviously, I mean, Montreal's, 1-9 in extra minutes and all that. So why not have a different look? And especially against those three on the other side, like, you were expecting McDavid and Draisaitl to just, you know, kind of run the whole time. But I thought it was great, but I kept thinking to myself, man, he must be gassed. Like, he just looked so tired, but he found that energy to, and it was a perfectly placed shot. That was a goal scorer's goal.
Yeah. Like, it's a messy
one. You got to think he slept pretty good last night.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, for
absolutely.
Sure. For sure.
Yeah. No, that was cool. And he's going to play his part, you know, like, he was up the middle of the ice. I think he's going to shift around. We'll see. I mean, that's always been the story in Montreal, at least from my standpoint, is up the middle of the ice. I don't think they're strong enough, like, to go on a really deep run. I think they need the help. I think you're asking a little bit too much of Staal to think he could do that night in, night out against McDavid, Draisaitl, Matthews, Scheifele, you know, Dubois. Like, look at the centers. We've talked about it before. But Toronto, Winnipeg, Edmonton, their top two centers are, you know, those are three of the five best duos in the league, probably. Yeah.
For sure.
So,
for
you know, if you're Montreal, Deneau's coming alive a little bit. Suzuki, you know, if you're going to go with Staal, man, that's a mismatch.
That's a big loss, too, of Gallagher last night.
Big
time.
He's
out for, what, 4 to 6?
Weeks. Yeah, at least, I think at least a month anyway.
Yeah, that's a big loss. He's really
good. You think that three times that guy's had his hand broken or fingers broken? Shea Weber, Johnny Boychuk, both of those guys. Boychuk could really shoot it. And then Romanoff gets him last night. And that stinks.
Yeah.
It really does. That's brutal for him.
It really is. But anyway, we'll see. We're getting closer to
training. I didn't hear, but is there some? You guys got something going on about your Masters meal?
What is your feedback for the Masters?
Well, I want to know what you guys got. What do you guys
got? You don't even want to know because Noodles ordered everything on this side of the pond. So.
I had a nice spread.
We're not hearing it again.
Classy
Ray,
gentlemen.
We just want to know
classy
what
gentlemen.
Your appy was.
O had cheese and crackers and said, get the hell out of my party, basically.
For me, a little, you know, you got to have a nice salad to start. Then to get into the chicken parm with gnocchi, meat sauce.
Man, that's heavy.
Yes.
Heavy.
What are you going out for a run?
Well, you're playing a golf tournament, the biggest
you're playing
major
a golf
of the year.
Tournament. So do you remember Jimenez stretching?
Yes.
I think he had, just before he teed off, I think he had chicken parm gnocchi and a bottle of wine.
I think you're right. And Cabrera won it. Blowing darts up and down every single hole.
I can just see Ian Woosnam shoving chicken parm in his face like he's going to the chair the next day.
See, it's my meal.
Yeah,
I get to order what I want, and you guys are going to eat it, and you're going to like it.
I would love that. Yes, I would.
But the gnocchi is not it's not like a light little taste to that either.
No,
that's like an anchor dropping right into your gut.
The heaviest possible meal, gnocchi. It's incredible.
It is so good, though. Gnocchi with a rosé sauce or something.
I'm going to go with a little bit of the meat sauce, though, Noodles. Maybe a little of the rosé in it, but I like the meat sauce with it.
I like it.
Bolognese.
Yeah,
I like it.
So what did you go with, Hayes?
I went with the chicken penne pesto from the alumni box at Scotiabank Arena.
So good.
It's the only option.
So good.
Yeah, and that's the only
way
to go.
How are you getting the guys from the alumni box down there?
Well, that's
going to
be
they're going to fly down there and serve it up. It's the full meal deal.
It's phenomenal. It's the best spot in the city. Like, there's a lot of great restaurants in town. There's nothing better than the alumni box at Scotiabank. It's the go-to spot, especially considering I'm not an alumni.
No.
It's even better.
Ray, what's your dessert?
Some kind of chocolate pastry with ice cream.
Yeah. Very simple. You keep it simple. Ooh, yeah. Right? No, nothing's going to go wrong there.
It's got to be chocolate, and I love ice cream.
Yep.
So, you know, what do you guys got? Anything good?
Yeah, not really. I mean,
I selected something very near and dear to this show's heart. Brian Hayes makes the best lasagna in North America. I picked my Kunama's Korean food as an appetizer because it's so delicious, and the Hazy Bee lasagna as the main.
What do you make of that, Ray? How do you feel about that?
How about that? Now you're hauling family and friends down there to cook for you.
Yes.
What a guy.
I'm personally down there just making sheets of lasagna.
Yeah.
You don't get to come out of the kitchen, Brian. I hope you enjoyed Augusta. How was it? I was in the kitchen for 3 days.
Yeah, making a sheet after sheet after sheet of lasagna for Owen and the boys. But
it is good, though. I will
it is
say
good.
That.
And
quality.
The grappler sent us a note that I was not aware of, that because we were discussing who picks up the tab, and I told you, like, the champion has to pick up the tab, which seems outrageous.
Ray, how stupid does it seem when you win the Masters and the next year you got to blow $150,000 on a dinner bill? Not everybody's built for that.
It kind of sounds like a rookie initiation, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not sure. I think it's a crock.
DJ, I'm not shedding tears for Dustin Johnson.
No.
He made like $30 million last year. He can pick up $100,000 or $50,000 or whatever, and Tiger, you know. But there are some guys who come out, like Danny Willett. How much did Danny Willett pay the next year?
Danny Willett had, you know, cheeseburger meals from McDonald's. There you go. Suck on that.
That would be hilarious if you're like,
yeah,
dude,
there
I'm
was
just
two
not
cases of
it.
Coors Light and McDonald's fries everywhere on the table.
Go Maker nuts. Or Laker beers, like $2 a beer and McDonald's. And that's what we're going to
I remember at some of the rookie meals, like you'd get the wine list, and, you know, we're ordering, the rookies are paying, and you cover the wine, and you just look, you just run your finger down the right-hand column.
Yep. It's so messy.
Like, there were so many gutless guys, though. Like, I didn't mind guys that would drink the wine, but I was at a rookie dinner one time where a defenseman showed up. He didn't even drink, and he ordered, like, literally, what's that, like the Dom wine Perignon that's like $2,500. Like, yeah, $2,500 a bottle.
They are
like,
so weak, man.
Opus, yeah. Opus. He opened like five of them and walked out. I was like, that's so gutless. Like,
he caught a guy trying to ship a Magnum home, a double Magnum home. Didn't even want to drink it there. And Ronnie Francis went through the bill and said, what the hell's this? Who ordered this? And then it was so embarrassing because we had to look him in the eye. He was shipping it to his house, and we're like, dude.
Yeah.
That's just not right.
That's not right. No. And then I guess on top of this with the Masters, where if for whatever reason you don't like the menu, you can order some sort of side menu, which, again, I guess some guys would pull off. Like, if there's a vegan in there, a vegetarian, then that's going to definitely be a part of their program. But
I think I would order they don't have it, but I'd order In-N-Out Burger. That would be my call-in order.
You got to go to the West Coast for
that. Yeah, we should have, like, an actual, like, a fast food order.
That's what we got to do.
That would be...
That seems more in our wheelhouse as well. Tomorrow we'll get your picks because it is Masters Week. It is almost go time. So we'll get you back tomorrow, and you can make your picks for Thursday, Friday, and we'll go from there.
Are we having a pool or something? Like, is anybody organizing that?
Not really.
The four of us should have one on the air. Yeah. Noodles will probably win. He doesn't even know the players.
That's what bothers me is that's exactly what's going to happen.
Gene Sarazen, the one time I took one year, they wheeled him out. He was 83 years old. Mark Bergevin actually talked me into, he's like, take this guy. He's a favorite. I'm like, all right, I took him. And they literally wheeled out this guy, and he died like six months later. Like, he was like, I don't know. He took the ceremonial shot.
Fault. What do you believe in Berge for anyway?
Exactly.
That was my issue.
Yeah. it was like the two top players and Gene Sarazen was my pick, so it didn't work out.
We'll see if we can rope you into it again maybe this week, but that might be a good call, right? We'll figure something out. We'll put our heads together and it'll be magical tomorrow.
Yeah. I don't know how that's going to work, but we'll talk to you tomorrow about it.
All right, buddy. There he is, Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lean history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.